Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Pay Attention, Please, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast. I'm Chris Rogers.
And I'm Eric Tedisco.
And I mean, Eric, we just need to get right into it because we are coming fresh off the Vanderpump Rules final, like part three of the reunion. Watched it last night. I just this morning watched the uncensored version. I know you said you did too. I'm just like blown away. I want to go through it like piece by piece because a lot was said.
There's so much.
I kind of want to, well, first off,
I think we should, not to hijack, I think we should start with Raquel's reveal, only because that's the headline of the whole reunion. I feel like we should start with that.
Yeah, I think so too, because actually when we got the screener for the episode, that's what we did, because that was the big moment of the episode. Mm-hmm. So in the final 6 minutes, Raquel filmed a private one-on-one interview with, it was actually the showrunner. I don't have the name off the top of my head, but it was not like a producer of the show. It was the showrunner. So 6 days after the reunion filmed in late March, I think producers or the showrunner became aware of certain information from Raquel, because what happened was, I don't know if fans remember this, but Raquel like left, she came back and filmed a little bit for the finale, but then if you remember in the finale, it said like Raquel just like booked it, she didn't film any confessional, she left town, turned off her phone, etc. So when the reunion finished filming, I think producers wanted to go back and film some confessional footage with her to put into the finale. But what they learned during that time was some of the stuff that Raquel revealed, and they probably felt if it was better just to leave it for the end because it was so shocking and so monumental. So basically, 6 days after the reunion filmed, Raquel sat down with the showrunner, like I said, and basically finally told the truth about this whole time. Like for months since this news broke, Tom and Raquel have been adamant that they only had sex once in August 2022 after the Lake Havasu trip.
Boys night.
Mm-hmm. And they had sex once, and then we're like, oh my gosh, we can't do this,
right?
Took a breather.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. And then they didn't fully hook up again until, I think, what, the new year, 2023 or something?
Or no, I think they said, like, maybe later in the year, like, towards, like, the BravoCon time. But, like, after filming Wrapped, like, after the wedding. So they said, you know, after Schwartz made out with her. So that was their story. And I think it was, I didn't want to say it was their story. I think that was Sandoval's story that Raquel was just thrown into because he was telling her what to do. And it seemed like producers got wind that there were some discrepancies in the story and that there was not all truths being told. And Raquel was felt obligated, I guess, to expose those lies, which she did.
So basically she said that there was no break. Mm-hmm. They actually had sex also in Mexico during Sheena's wedding in late August.
Multiple times.
Mm-hmm. And that it started because she saw Tom was like really drunk the first night they were all in Mexico. He was like trying to find his hotel room. No one else was around except I think an employee of the hotel. Raquel swooped him into her room and was like, I'll help him. Like he's lost, he's a little drunk. And they had sex that night. Then she had sex a couple more times during that trip.
And from there, the affair was born.
Yeah, and it's just mind-blowing because it's like her and Schwartz also made out. Do you remember what night her and Schwartz made out? Was it the first night or second?
How many nights were they So I think that they were in Mexico for 3 nights. I think the first night was like that white party when they were all wearing white. So I think that's the night that that happened, because
Makes
then
sense.
the second night was the hibachi night. Remember when James and Allie left and they went to like the underground bar with like the with Lala and Katie and stuff. And then it was the wedding. So it seems like it happened
The first
right
night.
away, but there was still overlap nonetheless with Schwartz of it all. And mind you, this whole time, the story being spun to Schwartz was that that didn't happen. So this, I would presume, is new information to him as well.
Yeah, so basically, yes, Raquel admitted there was no break. The affair began in August. It never stopped. It became a lot more frequent, she said, after Sheena's wedding, while everyone was filming. So throughout filming, they were hooking up. There was no break again. She also revealed that that whole infamous hot tub night where Ariana was out of town at her grandmother's funeral,
Right. When
Raquel
Ken
came.
Todd was the whistleblower.
Yeah, Raquel and Todd.
I will repeat that in my head forever. I can't believe that that Raquel was
I
at
know.
Tom's when Ariana was over. He knew. I'm sure he was tipped off, but he knew.
Him and Allie were the smoking guns this season.
Yeah, literally hysterical.
But yeah, so they had sex that night, Raquel said, in the house while Ariana was away at her grandmother's funeral. Raquel also admitted that she met his family during the holidays. She flew to
St.
St.
Louis.
Louis,
Well,
which I
first she said she had
found.
no recollection, and there's photo proof. Like,
There's photo proof.
yeah, then she gave in.
And then what else did she? Oh, and then so throughout this whole mess, she also was really like feeling bad that they were hurting Ariana. She loved Ariana, and so she suggested to Tom, "Why don't we just be a throuple?" And he shot that down. He was like, no, like we're not doing that, et cetera. So, and then within this whole like admission, she actually starts to show emotion that like everyone's been waiting for, everyone's waiting to see. She seems scared to reveal this information. She says that she just can't take the lying anymore and that Tom would kill her if she revealed any of this information. And she's especially scared because he's basically all she has left. She's cut off all her friends. She's betrayed all of them. And it's just like scary to watch. And I almost like in that moment, for me at least, it's not that like, and this didn't happen to me. So it has nothing to do with like me being able to forgive her or whatever. But in that moment, I did feel a little humanity from her, and I felt like it was like an inch towards almost like, I don't know, like
She was seeing the light.
I don't want to use the word forgiveness, but like I fan could at least get past it a little bit with her because it seems like she was very controlled by him, very manipulated by him, and she's actually showing remorse where he cried a couple times during the reunion, but I don't think.
Continued a concocted, manipulated lie, like a whole story that he clearly coached her ahead of time going to the reunion. That's why he wanted to talk to her when the cameras weren't rolling. Like he created this mastermind plan of not only was the affair going on, but then how to cover it up with by like 25% admitting it, but then also leaving out all these details that she completely exposed at the end. Yeah, it makes him look even worse because he was presenting himself as going into the reunion as he's owning everything. He's telling the truth to everyone. He's sorry to Ariana for what he did. He knows no one will forgive him, but you know, he's got his tail between his legs. Like he's like, this is what I did. It's all out in the open. Not so much, apparently. So she
No.
really blew everything wide open. And watching that scene was watching someone who was in an abusive situation. Now I'm not a doctor, you're not a doctor. I'm not gonna
It's our
diagnose or give, you know, a verdict based on what is going on, because there's probably God knows more about going on behind closed doors since this all began with the two of them. But my God, is that girl controlled by him? And she clearly is a very weak mentally person. Like she does not have a lot of strength, it seems like there. We've seen that since she joined the show, especially after her James breakup, everything going on with Peter and Schwartz and now Sandoval. Like there's not a lot of strength there that she's mustering up. And he has her under his abusive thumb, and it's very frightening to watch. And I completely agree with you. I don't think it's far-fetched at all to say, wow, I saw, you know, watched that last 5 minutes of the episode and felt for her. And you know who else felt for her? It was Lala. I think that everyone on the show felt for her because Lala was on Watch What Happens Live with Tamra Judge after the episode. Yep. And she was very reserved about her feelings. That she was like, I felt bad a little. And we know Lala does not hold back, and she really does not like Raquel. I mean, I think she's hated Raquel even before all this nonsense started. So that was a moment where I think they're seeing like that girl's starting to break free from the prison that she's being held in by this man. And she's starting to see the light. Now, she did this to herself. These are her actions. She's not 16. She's 28. I mean, she's like my age. Like, she's not a child. Right. But like, there was a huge sign of her in that moment of what she was doing. And I would presume that was going against everything that he wanted. And I can't imagine he's happy about what she spilled.
No. And I almost wonder if that whole, remember, you know, the whole breakup report that came out a couple weeks ago, we don't know if it's true. Obviously, you know, he was pictured sort of talking to her on the phone or what appeared to be on a plane after that. But let's say she left this and did tell him, hey, I revealed a bunch of stuff within, maybe that's why they broke up. I don't know.
I bet she did. I bet she was like, I spilled it. I screwed up. I told them like the producers know, because he's very concocted about what to show on the TV and whatnot. Like, he's been in this business for a long time. He's 10 plus years on the show. Raquel's new to it, and she doesn't get the game as much. So I think she had a little bit of word vomit there, and was just like, it was probably freeing for her to do so, because this has been you have to be a kind of person to concoct this type of lie and then keep it going. Even when the lie has already been exposed, you still continue with these smaller lies that are still tricking people nonetheless. And I think it overcame her. And I mean, I don't think this girl should be on television. I don't know if this is like hyperbolic or dramatic of me, but like, I think it's to the point where like, does Bravo have a responsibility to not have this girl on the show anymore for the well-being of her and her life and the destruction it's causing? You know, like, I don't know. I think that's like a conversation worth having. And I'm curious like what their standpoint on it is on it, because I know we're producing a show here and they're making ratings and they're making money, and congratulations, you know, Bravo and everyone, but there's a lot of destruction going on. And I don't know if it, I think like this girl needs to no longer be on television. Like, I think it needs to be over after last night.
Yeah, I agree. I worry about her mental health, and you know, something I did want to speak about on this podcast as well is like how you felt about, you know, the whole James and Lala of it all. Like, I love them on the reunion, but at the end of the day, they are being criticized heavily for, you know, just being brutal on Raquel. And I'm not saying Raquel didn't deserve what was being thrown at her, but when someone is just taking it from all sides and that aggressively and not really, I mean, she didn't really fight back all that much. Tom Sandoval's not defending her, really. I mean, it was hard to watch, like you said. And I don't know if at the end of the day, it was funny to watch James and Lala be like that in part one, but to see it go through three different parts, and like, I don't know if they really had a lot of skin in the game. Like, James, I could understand being upset a little bit. But at the end of the day, like Lisa said, and she tried saying many times, it's like, you've all done the evil things to each other. They might not be to this magnitude at all, but have some compassion. You've all made terrible decisions. You've all, even Lala, and I think Andy was trying to like make that point, is like, you know, Lala's like, I wasn't a mistress. But then you show old footage of her literally telling Raquel earlier in the season, like, I was a mistress. I was a, whatever, you know, I don't know what she was. I think maybe she was referring to what she was labeled as.
I think it was like she was stereotyped as a mistress. I don't think she was saying like, I'm a mistress. Hi, everyone. I think she was saying like, I've been called this, like, you're not one, I'm not one. I do think that's what she was saying, but.
Yeah. I just would have liked her to at least said, hey, I can see the similarities. I should have a little bit of compassion, but you really hurt my friend, and that's not cool. And I don't know if I could ever be friends with you because of it. Like, I think there were a lot more constructive ways to have these conversations. I would never say that about Ariana. I think she is an exemption to the rule. I think this directly happened to her. And in a monumental way, you know, she lost her best friend betrayed her. Boyfriend of 9 years, like her live-in partner, you know, just I don't want to say humiliated because she's very, you know, adamant about not saying she was humiliated, but I mean,
but they changed her life forever.
Yeah.
Is Lala and James's life changed forever by this? Like, I don't think so, especially not Lala. I thought there was a lot of really nasty things that were said.
Yeah.
Now I do say that, but then I also cut back to, this was filmed like March 23rd. Like, now we're sitting here in June. So it was really fresh. So I think that that's,
it was 3 weeks.
Myself and a lot of the viewers out there are probably almost forgetting that this was filmed 2.5 months ago now. So, you know, I think we have to keep that in mind. But yeah, they didn't really have that much skin in the game, and it got really, you know, personal. And I think Raquel is just not the type that can go toe-to-toe with those people. I mean, James and Lala, they're great TV characters for a reason. Like, they can take down anyone. And, like, you know, Sandoval definitely took the more fighter approach for it. Raquel did not. She really was just like, you call me stupid, I'm stupid. You say I'm dumb, I'm dumb. You know, you say I'm a disgusting person, I'm a disgusting person. Like, she was just taking it, taking it, taking it. And I think that probably led to when she just broke down and spilled everything to production, because she was just,
I mean, even
holding everything in.
Even when she was in the trailer, before she even came out, and she was like, wow, watching this, I'm really realizing, like, how monumental this was, the damage we caused. And that's what I'm saying, where, like, I appreciate that from her. I don't think they should forgive her right away, but she's at least being like, whoa, I didn't realize the magnitude of what we did. I am now realizing it, and holy shit, you know, like, and I didn't see that at all from Tom Sandoval at all. I mean, he lied through the whole episode. Like, he was
the whole thing. He's been lying since the beginning. And even when the truth came out, the truth didn't come out, because he was still concocting and making up these lies and still carrying on with them until she exposed it.
Did he say Miami girl hookup didn't happen? You know, he's
right. So he's been a proven liar this whole time.
He's always been a liar. It's like, I don't see how they can be friends with him after that. And I mean, even Tom Schwartz was on Jax and Brittany's podcast this week, and he, you know, we'll see, actions speak louder than words, but he basically said he has taken a break from his friendship with Sandoval because he, after looking back on it all, watching it all unfold on TV, et cetera, he's like, he doesn't seem remorseful. I need to take a break. Like,
no,
you know, and I do wonder what all the fallout will be. Obviously, they're going to start filming season 11 rather quickly. I know the EP said that he wanted to take a little bit of a breather, let them see this scene from Raquel where they start
filming. I'm going to guess like July, like sometime after 4th of July, second half of summer, I presume.
Yeah.
What did you think about the t-shirt comment? Because that was kind of forewarned by Andy. And then, I mean, you have Tom Schwartz covering his face. Like, why did you do that? Like, this man has I'm speaking of Sandoval, by the way, obviously. Yeah. He has truly burned every bridge. And, like,
it was
not good at all.
It might have been. What are you
doing?
It was bad. For those, I mean, I'm sure everyone listening watched, but basically, Ariana made a comment, you know, they were trying to question whether Sandoval hooked up with anyone else.
I'm sure he has.
He was the Raquel. I'm sure he has. But Ariana made a, you know, backhanded comment or whatever, where she was like, oh yeah, he did. It was with me. Like, basically saying he had sex while he was hooking up with Raquel. I think it was a way to, like, take a dig at Raquel. Like, hey, guess what? He was also having sex with me.
Yeah.
And he sort of, like, got defensive, and he goes, oh yeah, well, you wore a t-shirt, it was so hot. And it was just like, yeah, even like Andy cringed, LVP cringed.
Everybody.
Like, that is the most
everyone in the room
thing you could ever say. Like,
Schwartz had his head in his hands. I mean, he was like, everyone was like, it was a train wreck that you were looking away from.
And then how about this? How about when Schwartz said, please don't, oh my God, don't say that. And Sandoval apologizes to him.
Oh, you can't even make this shit up. You really just can't make this, you can't even make this shit up about, like, this behavior. It's just,
it's very,
I will co-sign now that that's like a dangerous person. Like that, while I said that, like, I think that there's, you know, that's like a dangerous person that, like,
that's his true
color. Oh my God. I feel like I have to, like, watching it, I feel like I have to cleanse. Talking about it right now, I feel like I have to cleanse. Like, it's so gross. And, like, I am still curious nonetheless about, like, how everyone feels seeing the Raquel reveal at the end. I mean, that it's a really bad look for Sandoval, because he's just shown once again to be the master manipulator that everyone perceives him as, that at the end of the day, that's who he is.
What did you think of, so there was a scene in the uncensored extended version on Peacock that was not I mean, there were a couple scenes that weren't shown, but the one that stood out to me the most was, so after Raquel left and the cast took a break, I think it was right before Sheena came back on stage for the goodbye. Tom was backstage with Raquel Sandoval, and Raquel said her goodbyes. She had to leave. She had to be 100 yards away. So Sandoval was by himself, like in a makeup room. And Lisa Vanderpump walks in, and she basically has a heart to heart with him. She's like, "Hey, listen, like you're not looking good. You're showing no emotion. Everyone else out there is shedding tears, and you don't look, you know, like you're sad. You not only like lost your partner of 9 years, you lost a ton of friendship.
Everybody,
Like
everyone.
you need to be looking remorseful, apologize to them, say you're sorry, even if they don't accept it in that moment and they say F you, say it if that's how you feel, like make them see it because it could be a step in the right direction and they could process it over time, etc." And he starts like sort of crying to her and whatever. So what people saw on the Bravo version when he comes out and it was like the last moment and Andy's like, "What, you know, what does each of you have to say?" And Tom starts
And he
crying.
cried
It almost makes you feel like that's no longer genuine
because
because
Lisa kind of sparked that.
Lisa kind of coached him to do it in a way. I don't
Yeah.
think maybe that wasn't her intention, or maybe it was. I mean, they do have a
I think
business.
she was trying to help him. I actually completely agreed with what
Yeah.
she was saying. And I think she was both from like a mother standpoint and also from like a this is my show standpoint. Like, you need to not look so bad because this is bad. These people will never
Yeah.
speak to you or film with you ever again.
And it was very interesting to see because then it was like, oh, that's why he did that. That's why he came out and cried and said, "I'll always love you, Ariana." He also said to her that he wishes he could just have a heart to heart with Ariana by themselves. And it's like, that's fine. You could do that down the line. Like, you don't even need to have the cameras. You don't need to be like on, you know, but like right now, you should at least like say sorry to everyone, you know, that betrayed. And, you know, I think he only said sorry to Ariana, right? Like, he didn't really apologize to anyone else. I don't think he feels he has to because he care about Lala or James or Katie.
No, not at all.
And Schwartz is already
It's
kind of on his side or was during that filming. So yeah, I don't know. It's rough. It's wild. I can't imagine where they go from here, but I know
I
that
don't
the
know.
EP said that he expects everyone to come back. He expects everyone. I don't know if that will include Raquel, but I feel like if Raquel wants to do it, they might just do it. I also
I agree.
wonder.
It's going to be her decision or her family's decision.
Yeah.
It seems like they have a lot of
And
say in the
also very
matter.
interesting that, you know, there's the whole we interviewed Brittany. Brittany kind of told that her and Jax, when we asked her, "Hey, would you guys be coming back to Vanderpump?" She remained coy. She was very like, I don't know. The way she answered was very suspicious. Unless they're getting a different show.
I did. So yeah, we haven't talked about this since we chatted with her. I don't think they're going to be on the, they're not going to be on Vanderpump, I don't think. I think
No.
they're going to be on a different show. Yeah, and there's rumblings that I've kind of like that there are out there. I don't think they're going to be on Vanderpump. I think there's going to be something else going on. I just don't see them coming back to Vanderpump. I don't know. Even though they might need other people to shake it up, because if
But
no one wants
I
to
don't
be
think they
around
need more people.
Sandoval and Raquel might not even be on it, like
I don't think they need more people against Tom and Raquel. So I agree with you. Like, I think if Jack
right.
came back, they would be more on Katie, Ariana's side of things.
That's
And it causes a very unbalanced dynamic that we already have. I think if they're going to need to bring in a friend of Raquel's, they're going to need to bring in a friend of Tom's and sort of even
Are
out the.
they, are those people alive? Are they out there? Are they on Mars?
I
Let
don't
me
know.
know when you find them.
I don't know, but I am excited to see where it goes.
Me too. That's a wrap. We just have the secrets revealed ne
It's
episode next,
crazy.
but
Yeah.
that'll probably be a whole lot of nothing. I mean, we'll when we hop on the podcast next week, we'll maybe discuss it depending on how much they reveal. But that's a wrap on Skinnable. I mean, I like need to like shower and like quarantine my body after all that because it's been a long 3 months. I'll always remember where I was on March 3rd when the news
Oh
broke.
my God, me too. I actually was landing, I think in New Jersey. I was flying to Jersey.
Friday, March 3rd.
And I landed and I was like, holy shit. Like, my phone just started blowing up. I saw the article and it was just insane. Like, it's like
I
you said, you'll
know.
always remember where you were, what you were doing.
Yeah. And my highlight of this whole thing was like us talking to Peter. Not that he's that involved, but I just feel like that was such a fun interview that we did. And
Yeah.
like I'll always remember that as part of it. And we got like great headlines and like our stuff got picked up places. Like I thought that was just like such a fun moment of this whole experience that like we interviewed Peter during like all of this
I was
madness. Like,
saying
what a journey.
like and how like how much it's changed for them too. And I know Tom Schwartz was kind of saying this during the reunion. It didn't come off well, but he was basically saying
But I
like
knew what he was saying, and I agree with what he was saying.
he was saying this is all terrible, but how great of the things that sort of people who were wronged are getting out of it. And like Ariana is getting all these like she's in a movie TV movie or Lifetime movie. She's
That
getting
girl's making
like
more money than ever. There's no doubt in my mind she's making more money than she ever has in her 30
more money, not
however
only
years of her
that, it's
life.
not just her, it's like Lala, like you said on Watch What Happens Live, she literally
Well, every single one of them.
said that the send it her send it to Daryl merch that she released literally 4 hours after her video went viral where she said that helped her put a down payment. Literally, she accumulated the entire down payment of her house from that
That's
merch.
nuts. And
Yeah.
like, was it
And that's
really
how
that big to
it's like
buy? Like,
a down payment
it's
on LA
some.
is probably like 300K. So
Definitely. And then something about her is going to thrive. I mean, they're not even open yet. They already are thriving. Like, there's, I understood what Tom Schwartz was saying. Again, he just can't like get the right
the delivery wasn't
words. So he,
well,
like,
and
the
then Paul and
deliver,
Tommy.
he doesn't even know how to, like, he can't deliver it. Like, he cannot do that. But there's, I totally understood what he was saying, that there's a lot of quote unquote good that came out for that side. And
Like
I
hopefully, I
think
think you said like hopefully
that,
you focus on that and sort of
I mean,
like
who's suffering the most right now? I think it's Raquel. Like, I think that she's in the worst spot because Sandoval clearly seems to be just fine taking his shirt off and
I think
performing
Ariana's
for those
upset.
losers at his concert.
I think Ariana's very upset, probably
Of
still
course.
a bit. I mean, she's with someone new
Yeah.
now. I'm sure that's helping. And also, you know, Lala said to her at the reunion, like, girl, like they did the best favor for you ever.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't want to be with this guy who didn't want to hang out with you, didn't want to have sex with you, like was interested in hooking up with other people, et cetera. Like, just it's just crazy, like all of it. And like you said,
Nuts.
I'm looking forward to the break, but I'm also
Oh,
very
I'm good with a break.
I'm good
Let's
with the
take a
break,
break.
but I'm looking forward to season 11 and what's going to come from it as well.
Me too. Yeah.
Speaking of like headaches that Bravo's gonna have moving forward,
Speaking of toxicity,
toxicity, et cetera.
in our home state.
Home state of Jersey, Real Housewives of New Jersey. We got part two of the reunion this week,
Yeah.
and
Was good.
I mean, Jersey honestly never fails to deliver with reunions, in my opinion. I mean, maybe
Definitely.
there's a couple that were like, okay, that was all right. Like, yes, they yelled. But like, if you look at the overall picture, like Jersey always delivers, and like this reunion and Vanderpumps, they've just been like amazing the past
I
couple of weeks.
know.
But let's start with Jersey. And you know, it started with the whole reveal of Jacqueline's texts. Did
Jacqueline Larita texted Jackie Goldschneider 20 in 2021.
Yeah, so we later find out this wasn't revealed in the reunion, but it's been leaked online that so basically. When Teresa accused Melissa and Joe of putting her in prison and she found out this info through Jacqueline Larita,
Right.
Melissa pulled out a text and said, well, if you're best buddies with Jacqueline, you know, you reunited with her, you're so buddy buddy. Let me read this text from Jacqueline that she sent Jackie Goldschneider. And basically, it was just a long text talking such garbage about Teresa, saying she hates her, she's
Yeah.
ugly. I'll never be friends with her again, like all kinds of stuff. Like it was crazy text. And sorry.
Jacqueline Larita is just she's just a flip-flopper. Like, I don't even understand what she's trying to like get here. Like, what, why is she on such an anti-Melissa vendetta, Jacqueline?
Oh,
Like, why
Jack.
does she
Yeah,
hate Melissa so much? Like, I
I don't
don't
get
even
it either.
understand like the point of all this. And like, now there's text proof. I guess this was 2 years ago. I think it was around the time that the whole Evan stuff was happening, like hence why there was like
Yes.
anti-Teresa stuff being said between Jackie and Jacqueline. From Jackie's perspective, I got it. I mean, Teresa totally messed with her marriage, but like, I really don't understand what Jacqueline Larita is trying to do. And it's just like, now they put you in jail. Well, I thought it was
I
Caroline,
thought it was Caroline.
but then it was Jacqueline at one
I
point.
think it was
Well,
Jacqueline. Yeah, it
it was
was.
really Joe Giudice. Thank you, Andy, for pointing that out.
Yeah.
Like, there is just so, and I'm sure people listening like love Teresa. There is just such a lack of logic
Lack of
going on
accountability too.
since day one, and there's just like no lot that's all, honestly, it's coming from everywhere in Jersey right now, in the sense that like there is just allegation upon allegation, and we're going to get to the Lily stuff, but like there's really like there is proof for stuff, but there's not. And it's just like, well, who do you believe? Like, somebody's lying, and it's either like these people are making this up, which is a terrible look, that's despicable, or this is true, and then that's despicable. So nobody looks good, nobody's hands are clean. It's just like, it's so ugly. I've got a shower after that show too.
You know, before we get to the Louis stuff, we do have to say that stemming from the Jacqueline text and whatnot, Teresa elaborated on it and basically said that Jacqueline or something heard that Melissa and Joe Gorga were hanging out with Joe Giudice's ex-business partner. And the
one who turned them in.
The ex-business partner was the one that turned them in. So she thinks because they were friendly and hanging out, they kind of schemed together or something, and whatever. And I can listen, from the Teresa's like fan standpoint, I can certainly understand, like what we're saying, Joe Giudice, put you in, Teresa and him in prison.
Yes.
I can still understand how your own brother helped leak that information, that would be an act of betrayal. I get it.
Of course. Yeah. But is it true?
There's different words to use. I wouldn't say they put me in prison. I would say I feel betrayed if they were the ones that gave this information to
the or were even like getting dinner with him. Because even I would understand, even if she's upset that they were hanging out with that guy, but Melissa and Joe say that no, none of that was true. So I don't even know like where this is coming from.
What's
because Jacqueline Larita said it. Like who anointed her queen? I must have missed that ceremony when she was anointed queen.
And I love Jacqueline, but I don't know how she's credible. Yeah. Like one day she's slamming Teresa, and then one day she's being left with her. It's like, which side are you on? But basically, so after that aired this week, Joe Giudice's ex-business partner actually did an interview with The Sun, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he says that he has never met Melissa Gorga, and he would never know her if she walked right by him. So he's actually going against what Teresa said. And I should say that Joe Giudice also did an interview on a podcast earlier this week. He doubled down on Teresa's claim that Melissa and Gorga were hanging out with his ex-business partner, but now the business partner is saying he's never met Melissa. I don't think he said whether or not he's met Joe, but he said he's never met Melissa. So it kind of discredits Teresa's story. But again, like you said, it's like, we don't have any proof of any of this. Who knows?
There's no proof of nothing that people are saying on this show. There's no, I mean, I guess with the, again, we'll get to the Louis stuff, but I guess there is kind of proof there, but it's just accusation upon accusation. It just makes everybody look like dirty. Ago.
Like,
I know.
It's like the whole, like them getting on the show. It's like, I get it. You're mad. Like Teresa, you're pissed they got on the show. We get it. Like, let's just move on. They're never going to say, we're sorry we came on the show or whatever. We're never going to know the truth because we hear different stories from producers of how it happened. You know, 1 year Teresa says that Melissa contacted Andy directly, but then Andy in this reunion says that never happened. And then Teresa's like, oh no, I didn't mean Andy. I met someone else. It's like, stories just keep changing. And it's like, I'm not invested if they're going to keep changing. To me, that seems like lies. And to me, the person that seems the most consistent always with what they say is Melissa and Joe. Whether they're lying or not, they at least are very, very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sense liar. I'm not saying that means I 100% know they're telling the truth.
Yeah, there could definitely be some lies sprinkled
but
throughout.
But their stories aren't changing.
Yeah.
Choices always change based on, she doesn't realize someone knows something more about the story. So then she's like, when she gets caught, she sort of like changes her story. And it's just like, no, like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, the jail thing is perfect. She would go on and on about how it was Caroline's fault. And now she takes that back and is going to like, doesn't believe that. Before we get to the Louis stuff, how did you feel about Jackie and Jen Fessler popping up? A quick pop up for them for the most part, I feel like.
Very quick. I appreciated Jackie coming on and sort of talking about Ozempic and the negative consequences of using it if you're not really supposed to be using it. It was interesting that Andy asked about it from the perspective of Dolores using it, because she admitted on Watch What Happens Live that she uses it.
She ain't the only one.
Right.
And Marge and Jen Fessler are on it too. I mean, they've admitted it.
Yeah. And I do like that Jackie didn't go for Dolores at all. She talked about it in general. She was just like, this is not good. Mm-hmm. I worry about the ramifications of what happens when people stop using it, because the what's I think supposed to happen is your weight comes back,
yeah,
cause some sort of mental body dysmorphia, you know, all of a sudden you're like skinny for a long time, then you're not, and it's just like F's mm-hmm. with your mental state and all kinds of things. It's just a quick fix that's not long term. You're not really changing your diet habits or your exercise regimen and stuff like that. That's a healthier way of losing weight. But so I like that little portion, especially because she has a new book coming out in the fall about her eating disorder and her struggle and, you know, overcoming it and treatment, etc. So that was nice. I kind of wish she would have read the text from Jacqueline, since it was true.
Yeah, why wouldn't that come up if she's the culprit?
I guess because the timeline of it all, like...
I know. And it very well could have, and they may have just cut it, you know?
Yeah,
and
maybe.
They do talk about a lot of things out there.
I do worry about her spot on the show next year, but I don't know. We'll talk about that later. But Jen Fessler, I liked. I've always liked her. I think she's funny.
I think she's a perfect friend. She's a perfect friend for the show.
Yes. I don't know if she can carry a full-time role, but
no.
I do like her. And I thought it was a fun little, you know, segment, mm-hmm. but I understand why they didn't keep them out long, because they're not involved in the big, big drama of Melissa.
Right. Right. So now, again, we'll talk about Louie next, but I think first, the reveal that Jennifer Aiden had told Melissa the rumor already before Danielle did. Basically, yeah. Again, it was like, Danielle, were you set up? Danielle says, I don't feel set up. The whole other side of the couch and Jen Fessler are like, no, you were set up. Later, Danielle, again, sort of a hot mic moment, is talking to her husband, Nate, and says, they set me up. Like, what is going on with this? Like, I don't even understand. Like, it's literally confirming. Jennifer Aiden basically admitted that this whole thing was a setup for a storyline and to make
literally
Melissa and Margaret, probably more so Margaret, look bad. But the whole thing was a setup. I mean, Danielle, you were like used like a chess piece, like literally picked you up and put you right in front of Melissa where they wanted you. And you carried out like, hello, wake
Jennifer
up.
Jennifer literally said it was the narrative that was going on. So she went along with it, which I don't like. I don't think that's good. If you're going to create a narrative, be good at it. Be like LVP, who took nine years to get caught.
Until Puppygate, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and I, did you see the whole Jennifer Aiden, like Andy said he doesn't like her. She says, he doesn't, Jennifer said he doesn't like me. I think he can't stand her. Like, I feel like they really don't like Jennifer Aiden. She's like grating on me. I'm sorry. Like, she is like trying so hard to like be like the Team Teresa.
I would honestly rather see her go than Teresa, and that says a lot.
She's really grating on me.
I think she's more of a fan. I think she's trying too hard to create narratives and and etc. And yeah, Andy doesn't like her. It's very clear. Yeah, so I really do feel like Danielle was definitely set up. She obviously went backstage. I also feel like Andy was like sort of giving her a moment to have, you know, like have a moment at the reunion. Like, he was like, hey, you were set up. How does that make you feel? And she's like, I don't feel set up. And he's like, I think you're going to feel differently later. Give her another chance. Like, hey, like, this is like, come on, make a moment on this show, like stand up for yourself. And she was like, I wasn't set up. Again, it's just like, shows how she was manipulated and still is by Teresa and Jennifer, because she went backstage, like you said, and admitted to her husband in private, I was set up. And it was like,
Do you feel like Rachel was a better housewife than Danielle?
It's hard because
Danielle did more.
Danielle did more. Rachel's more in line with who I would side with as a friend.
Yeah.
Danielle did more for the show. But if she's going to continue to sort of be fake on camera, like say, no, I wasn't set up. And honestly, I still think there's more to the story with her brother. And I think she's not admitting it.
Yeah,
not going to be her full authentic self on the show, then no, I don't care about her coming back.
Rachel almost has more like longevity, where like I feel like she's tough, like she doesn't back down, like she doesn't get choked up, she can kind of face off against anyone. Like, I feel like she has more longevity for the show. And like, I don't think she's like the most fascinating TV, but I also feel like I could see her like on her second season, like really like getting into the mix. And she almost reminds me of like Drew Sidora a little. Like, I feel like she could have like an interesting like arc on the show and like make her mark and like, you know.
I will ask you later after we talk about Louie, like who you think should come back, but I don't want to get into that because I think this plays a part in it. Basically, speaking of Rachel, at the beginning of the episode, Rachel made an accusation and said that her stepson Jaden's birth mother was contacted by someone close to Louis. She didn't say it was Louis. She said that she was told by someone, she wouldn't name who, that Louis had someone track down the birth mother and contact her or something. I don't know why. She didn't really get into details about why the birth mother would be contacted. I don't know if it's like to give dirt on Rachel and her husband John, or if it was like, hey, they're trying to adopt Jaden, like you might want to put a stop to this, because the whole process of the adoption was Rachel and John's lawyer said, hey, we're going to send the birth mother or try to contact her and tell her
So she can approve.
to adopt Jaden. She has a right to object to this, but if we don't hear from back from her in a certain amount of time, we'll be able to move forward without her say at all. And so I almost wonder if he got involved in that, and maybe we'll find out more in the third part. But that was just part one of the Louis accusation. Teresa acted like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that doesn't seem like something he would do. Nope, he didn't do that, et cetera. So then we get later in the episode, and then Margaret says that Louis directly contacted her son at his workplace. And this is a business, like an office line. It's not a cell phone. It's an office line. So basically, her son told her that Louis called him, and he only knows this because I don't know if the guy on the other line or Louis said, hi, my name's Louis or whatever, but they have proof of the phone number that called, and it is Louis's phone number. And Margaret brought that with her to the reunion. Basically, Louis, if it was Louis, called and said, basically threatened him and said, "You're the guy. I'm the guy you need to
I'm the
worry
guy you have to worry about. What is this,
about."
The
Which is
Sopranos?
weird. Like, why are you going after Margaret's son? But whatever. Again, Teresa denies this, says it didn't happen. But while she's denying it, I caught this right away: is that
You
she picks
did.
up her phone and starts doing something on it. My assumption was she was texting someone or something, and. So when Margaret presents this and says, look, it's Louis's number, Andy takes the paper and says, Teresa's, it's Louis's number. She goes, yes, but there's a spoofing hacking thing going on, which I found interesting because Andy actually talked about this in his new book, Daddy Diaries, about how
That this is a thing going on. This
it's a
is
thing within
true.
the Housewives community. I mean, it's a thing in general. I've actually gotten a text from our editor-in-chief, literally. I don't know if you have.
Oh yeah, I did
And
too. Yeah,
you can tell it.
this was like last year or even more,
Yeah, it was
but
like
you
several
know.
months ago. You can tell it's not them because it doesn't sound like the person. And it's obviously some sort of hacking that like takes a contact in your phone and sort of tries to reach out to you. And so Teresa tried saying that's what it was. But Melissa and Margaret's argument was like, no, that only happens on number one, cell phones, not a business landline. And two, it only works when it's someone in your contact list. Margaret's
Margaret's son
son
doesn't have Louis
doesn't have
Rojas'
Louis in
number,
his phone.
right?
So Melissa and Andy's like, okay, Teresa, I get it. There is a spoofing thing going around. Housewives are numbers are calling each other, and when you pick up, there's no one there. And that's what Andy said. He said, the difference there though is if this person called Margaret's son and actually spoke, that's different. The hacking thing,
Normally it's silence.
silent, you'll pick up and you won't hear anything. You'll be like, hello, hello, nothing. And so Teresa's trying saying, no, that's not true. It's happened to me, and you do hear a voice. I don't know if it's true or not because I've never gotten a call. I've gotten texts. So I can't speak one way or the other. Again, I don't know enough information to say who's lying in this case. But what's interesting is Teresa all of a sudden goes, look, Andy, I just got two missed calls from Margaret
Margaret,
while we were sitting here chatting. So it's definitely a hacking thing. What I would have loved is if Andy, maybe he didn't want to do this and didn't get too involved in it, but I would have loved it if he said, well, show me the number that called, not just the name.
Let's show me the files. Show me the phone.
Because I have a feeling that Teresa texted Louis while this is happening, maybe switched his name and her phone to Margaret Joseph's. I don't know. And had him call, or he had some sort of program that he could call from a random number and it appears as Margaret. I don't know.
That
But
would
I
be a
think it
different
was a
another
setup.
level of like craziness if they're
It's
doing
just
that. Like
craziness.
I hope that's not the case, because that is so like this is so low.
Bad. And it's getting to a point where, like, it might become a liability for Bravo. Like, if these housewives are not feeling safe, their children are getting called, their family members are getting called because Louis is, I don't know, just digging up dirt on people, trying to scare people, trying to whatever. It's not a good look. And even
no, and we hope it's not true. I mean, there's again, this is allegations being made against Louis.
Yeah, we don't know if it is. It's not good.
And I don't even know why he would do that or how he would think he wouldn't get it. Like, I'm not trying to quote unquote side with him, but I don't even understand like why that would happen. But at the same time, that side of the couch like has like real proof, or for the most part, kind of proof and like allegations. And I thought it was an interesting moment. Margaret says to Dolores, like, you know about this. I called you.
Yes.
And I was hysterical. And then I guess what happened was
the police are involved.
The police, and they had to contact Teresa and Louis.
Teresa knows about it, but she pretended.
Teresa definitely knew about it heading into that reunion. It must have happened at some point when, you know, the season had
it was mid-April
or whatever.
I think the thing showed it was mid-April or someone.
Yeah, and they filmed the reunion, I believe, at the end of April. I could be wrong. I believe it was the end of April that they filmed the reunion.
Yes, or early May or something.
Yeah, so she didn't know that this was a situation going on, but she snapped her head over when she realized that Dolores knew about it, and she was like, why didn't you tell me about this? And Dolores was like, I want no part of it. And like, Dolores is very much like Switzerland, but I think she's like, this is so disgusting. And it's either Louis did this and that's disgusting, or Margaret's making this up and then that's disgusting. So it's really just a bad look on all. It's just everyone's just shooting grenades across, and yeah, everyone's getting hit and killed in the process, and it's just like ugly.
And then it ended with the guys coming out, the husbands will be out probably almost the whole third part.
Oh yeah, it's, I think so.
Like Raquel with Vanderpump Rules. So yep, they show the guys sort of getting ready to come out, coming out. And Andy seems very scared that there's going to be a physical fight. He had a private conversation with Louis, said, this cannot get physical. Please, like, if you and Joe, like, go at it, just, like, please stay in your seat, you know. And Louis's like, I'm fine. I'm not going to get physical, you know, whatever. And, you know, he said the same to Joe Gorga. And Joe's like, I'm fine. I'm not getting up, et cetera. So I think the third part's going to get really ugly.
I mean, how about even the men are separated? The men are separated backstage. And now you have Frank Catania, who is like planting his flag on that left side of the couch already. Because he was like, Louis screwed my son over. Allegedly, he screwed Frankie Jr. over. That Frankie Jr., we had heard this at the season before. Frankie Jr. got a job with Louis's company.
Yeah.
Louis, I guess, had shut down the company, did not inform little Frankie about this. And there was time going on where he was like, do I have a job? Like, am I getting paid? Am I working? And then obviously word got back to Big Frank. Now, from what I've seen in the previews, it doesn't seem like Dolores is co-signing that story.
Not co-signing it. She's denying it. It makes me wonder, like, is it a lot? Who would make, for me, it's like, why would Frank make that up?
Yeah.
And even Frankie has gone on record and said that's not true either. Right. Frank's own son, who he's saying was, you know, duped or whatever,
kind of screwed out of the job. Yeah,
it's almost making me wonder if Dolores is like, this guy is scary, I'm not gonna say he did anything to us, let's just not get involved, let's just move forward. I'm wondering if that's her standpoint. We'll find out, I think, more in the next part. But
it's just more accusations that there's not being proven. So, I mean, now it's like, and we'll see Dolores's standpoint, but now it's like we have two exes that are the same kid that are disagreeing about what happened with their kid's job. It's like, it is just so divided. And like, Frank Catania is clearly team, you know, Gorgas and Margaret. And it's just like, it's just so,
we're
so ugly.
From what we've seen so far, do you, because we've debated this many times, like, who do we think will come back? Who do we think? And I actually, you know, I texted you late last night and I was like, I have this wild like thought that like Vanderpump and Jersey, I mean, they're the most popular shows on Bravo right now with viewership. Ratings are through the roof for both of them. Maybe that means they won't change the cast at all. I mean, everyone's like, oh, I'm so sick of Teresa and Melissa.
But we're watching. You're watching. I'm watching. This one's watching. She's watching. He's watching. Like, everyone's watching. More than ever. I mean, Vanderpump ratings are astronomical, but Jersey, I just also saw, had like the highest ratings in like a couple of years.
Since 2019.
And this end of the season, you know, I thought overall the most of the season was a little bit of a drag, but this end of the season has really picked up both for my enjoyment and also.
I think it'll catapult next season if it stays intact, the cast. My only wonder is how do they
stay intact though?
And how do you move forward? Not only like the Melissa Teresa aspect of it all, but how do you move forward with Louis if he is doing these things to cast members? How do you shoot Teresa and her daughters? But then again, Louis still connected in one way or another because he's very, I don't want to say the word controlling, but it seems like he plays a part in what Teresa says, how she acts, what she believes. So it's like, maybe they put her on pause. I don't know. I mean, ratings are great. Like, maybe they just see
you one
year and see where it goes. I don't know. I
still think you can, I've said this, I still think you can work the show around, let's put Teresa and Melissa both on pause. Let's cut the Judais versus Gorga war, because I feel like they're the two figureheads of the two sides. And I feel like if you take out both generals,
you're not going
to each side, then you start to, yeah, like
it's all lose. Yeah.
Yes. And you, it's like everybody wins and everybody loses. And the lines start to get a little bit blurred, which is better. You kind of have Dolores take on the, I don't want to say the main character role, because I don't know if Dolores, I think she can lead a show.
They were setting
her up. She can lead a show from a drama standpoint. Dolores can be like the face of the show, and her, because she is good. Like I've already said it, she's getting engaged next season, and some type of her development of her relationship is going to be a storyline for next season. I think that the show wants it. I think she wants it. I think Paul wants it. I think Frank's prepared for that. I think that she can lead the show from like that perspective. She can't draw a line, but then I think you keep Margaret. I do think they'll probably keep Jen Aiden. I think we're going to lose Jackie. I think we're keeping Rachel, Danielle, and Fessler. I think Fessler will stay a friend.
I could see, though, if they do nix Teresa and Melissa, they keep everyone else. And maybe Jackie.
Because Jackie is genuinely in the mix, too. I mean, she's, like, best friends with Margaret. She's friends with Jen Fessler. I think they're going to keep Rachel and Danielle.
And they can maybe
they're just going to have them.
If they nix
like,
Jackie,
I'm okay with this. I'm okay with losing Teresa and Melissa. Let's end the war.
Okay with that, but
I know you're not, but at the same time, like, I am. Like, I'm talking myself into it.
I'm a broken record. I would only be okay with that if they brought Caroline.
Yeah, but I don't think you bring, but then you bring Caroline without her. Like, I feel
I
like
know. It's like the storyline is her and Teresa.
Like, who is she even friends with? Dolores? Okay, Dolores. Like her and Dolores get along like two peas in a pod. And then what? Like, who's Caroline fighting with? Rachel Fuda?
Well, like, it would become a more less toxic,
I guess, Danielle.
Caroline was looking for. She didn't want a show that was going to be, you know, takedowns. And although if Jennifer Aiden's there, it would be. But even Margaret's kind of in some ways.
You've watched Houses for a long time. Has there ever been a current franchise or show that's this divided, where like you have a line in the sand and it's, I'm on, like, I guess Dolores is maybe the only one that's not really on a side, but like I have never seen a show this divided. Like, has
no,
Atlanta
ever
been this divided? Has OC ever been this divided? Like,
no, it's only Jersey.
Has Potomac like, ever been this divided? Like Salt Lake, kind of, but like...
No, not like this.
And now you have like family and husband. I mean, the husbands are separated backstage. Like, this is getting crazy now. Like, it's so divided. So we'll talk more during after part three in the off season about our predictions. And I don't know.
I know. We'll see.
We're like going in circles. Like who's gone? Who's staying? It's like they all just stay. You know, like
we'll
that would be the greatest
twist
of all. Listen, it all comes down to ratings. You know it. I know it. And Bravo knows it. It all comes down to ratings. No matter what people are going to cry about, what people are going to start posting petitions and posting on their Twitters with 45 followers. Like it all comes down to ratings and money, guys. It's all that matters in this business.
Before we go, I do want to talk about Real Housewives of Orange County a bit. The mothership of all the Housewives shows.
Yes.
The OG came back 17 this week. We have Tamara Judge back after a 2-year absence.
And a great guest on this episode. Real Housewives of Orange County, Shannon Bedore.
Yeah, we interviewed Shannon, which that chat is coming up right after this.
Super fun. Super, super fun.
We talked about, you know, her picture with David, ex-husband David Bedore, right? Yeah, she still has that.
Yeah.
We talked about her split with John, where they stand today. Are they back together? You know, would she ever get back together with them? And obviously the drama with Tamara this season, like they are telling two different sides of the story in the premiere. Tamara is saying that she was ghosted by Shannon after she got fired. Shannon wanted nothing to do with her after she got fired from the show. Shannon claims that they just missed each other and they tried calling each other and just like didn't connect. And then all of a sudden Tamara started bashing her in the media. So she pulled away. We haven't really gotten to see them talk it out yet. That's going to be next week. But we did see them come face to face at a yoga event with the newest housewife, Jennifer Pedranti.
Great addition. I thought she was a great addition
She's
so
very
far.
OC. I think she's
Yeah. I'm
great.
hoping we get her on the podcast. I think she would be fun to chat with. I think
I
she fits
agree.
right in.
Yeah, she came on the show as a friend of Tamara's. They met at Cut Fitness, which is now closed. She's got a new
Rip.
boyfriend, recently split from her husband, long-term husband. She has kids. She's living the OC life. She's very, beautiful and successful. And, she's running a yoga company. She has like a studio, I think. And she did like a yoga event in the first episode. And that's actually where
Yeah,
she
she hosted the first cast event,
hosted the
didn't
first
she?
event. That's where Shannon and Tamara came back together and they said hi to each other and they sort of just agreed to like, hey, let's get together and hash things out. Nothing really more than that. And I thought it was a good tease of what's to come. What I'm most fascinated besides that is the whole like Gina Heather friendship because
Me
they
too.
got really close last season and we start this season with Heather basically saying like, Gina, like stop talking to me. And it sounds like she couldn't break the fourth wall, but was basically saying like once camera stopped, she just
We're
like,
not friends.
we were
Yeah.
not friends off when we're not filming. And it was funny because she didn't hear from her. And then all of a sudden the premiere, they're filming again, and Gina calls her up and she's like, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. Like, I have gifts for your kids going to college. I want to drop by, like acting like they are besties again.
Yeah.
And so she shows up and they have a chat in the backyard. And Heather's like, where have you been? Like, I haven't heard from you. And Gina's like, oh my God, I've been so busy. I don't, her, are she engaged? I don't even remember.
Oh, Gina? No, I don't think that they're
Okay, so her
engaged.
boyfriend's kids supposedly were not
Travis,
with,
yeah.
Travis's kids were not with them during summer vacation. She's like, oh, my kids were sad. I was busy comforting them. And then I was in New York and blah, 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 blah. And Gina's, or Heather's just like, okay, but let's get back to us. Like, you couldn't text me, you couldn't call me. And then, Gina shading Heather in her confessionals. She's like, I don't want a friend who's like gonna tell, like get mad at me for not texting them, etc. Which is funny because she actually said that later in the episode where she's like, I miss Tamara. Tamara doesn't get mad at you for not texting you back. And it's like, that's exactly what Tamara's mad at Shannon for.
Shannon, about I know
So I thought that
there's a lot of ghosting going on in the
there's a lot
orange
of
one.
ghosting themes in that episode. We'll see how the Gina Heather stuff plays out. I don't think their friendship will get to the place it was last season because Heather just did an interview and said she had a really tough season with Tamara, Gina, and Emily. She said that, oh, and Taylor Armstrong. She just said she,
And her and Shannon aren't really the best of buds either.
yeah, they're not the best of buds. I guess they're just cordial, but it doesn't bode well for Heather's future on the show, which I'm
No.
bummed about. I love Heather. I was so excited for her return. I know
She's
some.
good for the show, but I feel like the relationships just aren't really there.
Authentic, yeah, and maybe that's what everyone's saying. Like, she's not an authentic
And
friend.
this came up in our chat with Shannon about the,
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away, but the authenticity of Heather's relationships with the cast members, is there authenticity at all? And she has a very interesting response to it, because I
Yeah.
think it kind of translates on the show, is she friends with them or not,
And then she did tell us that because the teaser shows Vicky showing up to film,
We're
and
getting
she.
Vicky back.
Shannon let it spill in our interview that the way she gets insured back in is the cast goes to Mexico for a cast trip or whatever. And I guess that's where, obviously Vicky has a home down there.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's how they come back together. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see
This
the
is
trip.
a good cast, but I think you throw Vicky back in the mix. Like, I think you make Vicky a friend. And we haven't gotten to Taylor Armstrong yet, but I'm really excited to see her in the mix. I
Yeah.
think this is a really, really good
I think it's going to be
cast.
a good season. It's a good,
Yeah.
I agree. It's a good cast. I'm excited for it. I hope that the
Yeah.
viewership like shows that. Like, I hope people tune in and
Yeah.
continue to tune in or catch on to it and show up next week, whatever. But I'm excited. So we'll see. So let's let everyone get to the Shannon chat so they can hear what we, talk to her about and what she revealed. And we'll be back next week.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Shannon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We are so excited. Season 17 is here, finally. And, you know, we have Tamara Judge back. It's a wild, crazy season. But before we get to that, I want to address the elephant in the room. You recently reunited with your ex-husband, David. How did that come about?
Well, actually, I was doing an interview with Tamara and Taylor at The Quiet Woman.
All restaurants.
Yes, of course. And as we were getting ready to leave, word came to me that David had walked into the bar with a friend. And I haven't had a conversation with him for multiple years. So I ran up to him and I said, I'm not leaving your side until we take a picture for the kids.
Yeah.
And we were in a public place, so he had to say, okay.
Right.
So we took the picture and I sent it to the girls and they were so excited, which is kind of devastating at the same time, because for my kids to get so excited about a photograph, I mean, come on.
Yeah. A little bittersweet.
And then he said, you can go ahead and post it. I need Instagram followers.
He needs your help.
So I ran with it. And I guess he's accumulated quite a few so far.
Is this a good sign for you guys in terms of having a healthier relationship and coming up?
I mean, I would hope so, because for the benefit of my kids, I've only wanted to have a healthy co-parenting relationship with him. So we shall see. The twins graduate on Thursday, and apparently our reserve seats are very close to each other. So a little test.
Reunited again.
You also reunited with John recently. You were spotted together in LA after your breakup. What's your relationship today?
You know what? It's just one of, a friendliness. I mean, I didn't speak to him for at least 6 months, but we ran into each other, and it just is better for me to not be bitter anymore. Do I still have the same feelings about what happened with the breakup? Yes. And I think that after you watch the season, you'll understand why I felt that way. But it's just better at this moment in time for me to be friendly. And we both aren't dating anyone right now. That friendly thing is going to end as soon as either of us get involved with someone else. So.
Yeah.
But for now, it's good.
Do you think as the season progresses and you watch it back, you're going to have different feelings about your relationship with John as you see this last season?
It's possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope not, because again, it's just better for me to be in a positive state than negative, but it's possible.
Now, we have both watched the premiere for season 17. And for me, at least, it feels like a return to form. We have you, we have Heather Dubrow, we have Tamara, all back in the mix. And obviously we've grown to get to know Gina and Emily for like 5 years now, I think. So it feels like it's a lot of genuine friendships and stuff like that. Do you feel the same?
I feel that there are genuine friendships with certain cast members, not with all.
Who would you say it's not with?
I think that I might be giving things away for the season,
yeah.
But they don't involve me. So, I mean, there's a handful of cast members that I spend time with at least every 10 days to 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And like, we have a genuine friendship off the camera.
Yeah.
And I think that other cast members don't have those genuine friendships. And, you know, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Based on Instagram, I can presume like what you're speaking about. How much do you think Tamara's return affected the dynamics with the group, whether for better or for worse?
Oh, I mean, her coming back to the show has been a really positive thing, I think. Mm-hmm. And especially for me, because I never thought that I would be in a position or want to be in a position to possibly reconnect as friends. So in that regard, it was very good for me.
Now, you guys obviously have different sides of the story to what happened in those 2 years between her leaving the show and coming back. You guys sort of fell out of your friendship. You know, she went on various podcasts and, you know, on her own podcast and said, you know, you ghosted her. But your story in the premiere is that you guys just kept missing each other. It wasn't for a lack of effort on your part. Where do you feel like the disconnect was between those, you know, why were those stories so different?
Well, you know, we were filming during that time. And actually, we had just come from an all cast trip. And when you go away, you basically have a microphone attached to your back the entire time. And so we got back from that trip and then we shut down production the next day for COVID. And I think, especially me, I was in a panic. You know, what's going to happen in the world? So, you know, making that connection or making sure that we touch base wasn't the highest on my priority. And if that particular moment played a role and Tamara thinking that I wasn't there for her, then I apologize for that. But that being said, I didn't ghost her. And I have 150 screenshots of text messages between when she was fired and that particular day to prove that.
Yeah, Tamara did kind of leave the show right when everything changed, not only for the show because there was such a shakeup after the COVID season, but also just the world changed and everyone's life changed. It is a good point that you bring that up.
Right. I mean, and we had been filming for 5 whopping weeks before production was shut down. So it's really, that was horrible because it's hard to get a whole season of shows with 5 weeks of filming.
Yeah, it's funny going back to that. I'm now remembering your show was, I think, the only one in production at the time.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That was crazy. Yeah. I did love that little scene at the end of the premiere where, you know, you walk up to Gina, Emily, and Tamara, and they're sort of talking about you, and you're just like, oh, is this about me? Like,
no, I'm serious. Like, I'm the stupid one that never eats before we film. So I look like I'm the pig every time on camera. And I was starving, and I saw that they were blocking the food table, and I didn't want to go, excuse me, and make them move. So I thought, can I squeeze in between the wall and the table? And I mean, I
was smart.
And, you know, I'm like, are they talking about me?
Yeah.
It looks like there's going to be some kind of tough conversation between you and Tamara about getting back on the same page. We've seen on Instagram that you guys are in a better place. What can you tell us about how you got there? And did you guys kind of just agree to disagree about the falling out of your friendship?
Well, I think in the end, there is a part of the agree to disagree, but I mean, it was a definite rocky road up and down to get to the place where we are today. And there was a lot of there was some nastiness, quite a bit of that for us to get where we are.
Some nastiness this season.
Yeah. At the beginning, I think, I think you'll see that.
There's a couple previews that show that.
But in the end, to be able to reconnect to someone who is my best friend for 6 years and to get to a place where as soon as we reconciled, you know, snap of a finger, we're back to where
no time passed.
Like no time passed. Yes.
Yeah. And you guys, you know, the Tres Amigas, you have Vicky back later this season. So, you know, it's not just you and Tamara back together. It's all three of you, which fans are super excited for. What was that like having the three of you back together behind the camera?
It's so much fun. There's just a certain dynamic that the three of us have when we get together where we're just a little bit crazy and zany, and it's so much fun. So to be able to experience that with the two of them was something else. Because I'm not going to lie, after Tamara left the show, I was kind of left out there on an island by myself. I wasn't getting along with Kelly. It's like I didn't have any close friends. And I haven't for the last couple of years. So it's been kind of hard.
Yeah. How would you describe your relationship with Heather this season? Because it does kind of seem like she maybe is now the one that's on the outs a little, would you say?
But maybe certain people put themselves on the outs.
Good point. Maybe that goes back to what you were saying about genuine friendships versus not.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. I mean, that definitely plays into it. But, you know, there are certain things that happen this season, at least for me, that just kind of don't add up. And so I just kind of am at that point where I have so many good things in my life. If there is something that comes to me that's negative or that I don't feel good about it, I'm going to communicate and be honest and open about it and try and navigate through it. So I'm going to bring it up.
What's but your take?
But in a nice way.
Nonetheless.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
That's what you do. That's why we love Shannon Bedore.
Speaking of genuine friendships and Heather Dubrow, in the premiere, we see, you know, her and Gina sort of butt heads a little bit because they too fell out in between seasons. What's your take on their friendship? Because they were really close last season, and then we're starting this season where, you know, Gina's sort of shading Heather in her confessionals, mm-hmm. and, you know, they didn't speak, I guess, while filming was down. What can you say about how that might play out this season?
Well, I can say that nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors, of course. So I wasn't there to witness all of the bonding moments of Gina and Heather, but I question the level of the friendship that they had from the beginning. I don't know how close they were. So sometimes I thought that last season it was a friendship of convenience or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, because I don't know. I don't know what was going through either of their minds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see. Oh, it's definitely going to play out the entire season, that story.
We have two new additions to the group, the new housewife Jennifer and Taylor Armstrong. Obviously, we all know Taylor from Beverly Hills. How would you say each of them fit in as newbies to the group, and who did you get along with more between the two of them?
Well, I get along with both of them very well. So that's kind of a hard question to answer. But I just feel a certain connection with Taylor. She's so kind. She's so much fun. She's such an open book. And I've really had a lot of fun getting to know her. And I think Jen is a great addition to the cast. She's been nothing but sweet. I love kind of her holistic approach to parts of her life. And her story is something else that I think the viewers are going to be fascinated with.
Yeah, we got to know her a lot in the premiere, which I thought was refreshing.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And just about Taylor, how familiar were you with her story from Beverly Hills? Because my God, that woman went through a lot those early seasons.
Absolutely. And I did watch Beverly Hills when it started. So I was very familiar with what happened. And I did get the opportunity to meet her. Years back, we did a charity event together. So it wasn't that I had never met her before. So, but she's just so much fun and so kind. Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about this season's cast trips? Like, where do you guys go? How dramatic were they? Because usually they're pretty wild. Especially the Ireland trip you guys went on a few years back. That was,
you know, that was my favorite. If I'm going to rank every single... The first girls trip I ever took in my life was my first Real Housewives trip. Mm. I'd never done that before. So of all of the trips, my most fun was Ireland. And then up until that bus ride from hell, because that was just insanity to me.
That was fun for us, not for you guys.
And it was all on recorded on iPhones of all things. Yeah. So it was just crazy. But this year we go to a ranch in Montana. And so I can say check off that list. Yeah. And then we have a fun trip to Mexico where maybe the Tres Amigas get back together again. So, you know, having Vicky and Tamara in Mexico is always super
always fun. A good time.
Yeah. Speaking of, obviously you're full time, Tamara's back full time. How do you feel about Vicky's current role on the show? Would you like to see her more?
Absolutely. I wish we saw her more this season. Ever since she left the show, I've always advocated for Vicky coming back. She just adds such a fun element to the show that I don't think others can duplicate.
Yeah, she's an OG for a reason.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of Girls Trip, you know, You guys go on a few trips this year. Taylor went on the trip with Tamara and Vicky already. Would you ever do Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip? Have you been asked yet?
I was asked last minute to go on the Thailand trip, but it didn't work out with the scheduling of the starting of filming Real Housewives of Orange County. So I do find myself as fun vacation Shannon.
Yeah.
So I am
You're a fun time excited, on a trip.
Very excited for the opportunity to potentially do that in the future. Yes.
How do you think you would have fit in the mix with that Thailand group? Because that was season three. That was the Salt Lake girls, Miami girls.
I did watch it too. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say whose sides I were on, but I'm definitely fans and friends with Marisol.
I was literally going to say, I could see you bonding with the Miami girls. I don't know why. I just thought that.
She's so great. I've known her for years. So love her.
Is there anyone from the Housewives universe that you would love to go, you know, if you're asked again to go on a girls trip, who you would want to be on the show with?
Well, I'll think of people that I think I've been on yet. I would say Margaret and Dolores.
Oh yeah. They'd be
from New Jersey. Sonia Morgan. Absolutely. Yeah. She's a kick in the pants.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who on Atlanta, Sheree on Atlanta. I spent some time with her a couple months ago. She's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. And, you guys did Family Feud, right?
Yeah. And maybe some Erica Jane and Lisa Rinna.
Oh, that sounds like a really good season.
Yeah. When is that Family Feud episode airing?
We were just talking about that. I think sometime in the summer.
Oh, cool. So it'll correlate with the show airing.
I think so, yes.
And then you, Vicky, and Tamara, you have like a show coming. You're doing like a on the road kind of thing.
You know what? We're trying it out. We have a evening with the Trace Amigas. It's on June 27th at the Irvine Improv in Orange County. And we thought it would be fun to put a show together that's, you know, a lot of housewives will do like a Q&A. And we'll have a portion of the show, but we actually sing. We dance. There's video clips. There's games with the audience. Like it's a lot of fun. So I'm excited. We're all three of us are very.
Now I wish they lived in California to come.
Yeah, I might have to go to that. That sounds so fun.
It's gonna be great.
Well, thank you so much, Shannon. We're so excited for season 17.
Thank you,
and guys. Hope to see you on Girls Trip sometime soon as well.
It'd be great. Yes, thank you.
All right, let's chat again soon.
Great. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.